It will be one opening, two introductions, three submissions by National House of Traditional Leaders, four inputs by provincial house, eight clarity seeking questions, six closure, one opening, two introduction, three submission by National House of Traditional Leaders, four input by Provincial House, five clarity seeking questions, six closure. I hope everyone has got that. I'll then go to item one, opening. On behalf of the committee and the National Council of Provinces, I would like to open this meeting as well as to welcome everyone in different degrees of authority who would come to the introduction, where we would know each other amongst ourselves, including the committee. But however, I need to outline the process of why indeed are we here. We have adopted a program in the last meeting, the meeting of the 25th. From there, according to the program, we needed this meeting today, the 2nd of September. The purpose of this meeting is to accord the National House of Traditional Leaders a space to make submissions. The subject matter is well known. It has got history. It evolved out of the 1993 interim constitution that recognized the House of Traditional Leaders through Traditional Leaders Act. And from there, there were lots of many meetings of engagement which seeks to strengthen the institution. You would remember many of you were involved on this matter. There was an act passed 1997. From there, we had repeals and amendments, 1998 and 2000. But all those repeals and amendments could not wholeheartedly address salient issues at the heart of the House of Traditional Leaders. And therefore, we will take it, the process went on. And there was a need for a framework, the framework that would inform what is it that should be included in the legislation that strengthens the institution as such. As a committee, we would not even attempt to say these are the issues. We would want the House to raise the issues. The committee, it's a parliamentary committee, which would at the end refine what is refinable in terms of the directions and the expressions the House has said. It's not only the House, according to the program, would also go back to provinces. The provinces will also, in terms of the program, conduct hearings in the various provinces, where at the end of the day, we would have the department responding to the issues that were raised by the House, issues submitted by the provinces, and move towards concluding. But I think the appeal that I would want to make on behalf of the committee is that this bill is the bill of traditional leaders. It's your bill. And if you have read the issues raised in the bill, you would know that indeed it's a commitment by Parliament to strengthen the House, at the end of the day, restore the dignity of our traditional leaders. And therefore, this bill really, would want to do that. Would want to arrive and conclude and arrive at a situation where we have a clear legislation that speaks to the Constitution, a clear legislation that speaks to the framework as we have it now. And at the end, we might not say we have a perfect legislation, but I think as we are living, there will always be amendment. But to us, we believe that if we focus and really deal with the issues that are raised, some key areas of the bill, specific issues that arose during the engagement, if we deal with that, would indeed deliver to the country what the House wants. I would emphasize that the bill belongs to the House, and it is the House that must assist the Parliament in shaping the bill towards realizing its objective, so that we will lay the matter to rest. Thank you. I will then introduce our committee. Myself, I'm Madume Humphrey Mokgobe, Chairperson on Select Committee of Cooperative Governance and Traditional Affairs. And I'll allow other members of the committee to introduce themselves.
Thank you, Chair. I am Chair Tamufuge, the member of the committee.
Thank you, Chair. I'm Anuran Skunda, member of this committee.
Good morning, everybody. My name is Wati Watson, representing Mpumalanga province, and I'm from the Democratic Alliance.
My name is Jack Becker. I'm from the Western Cape, representing the Western Cape and the DA.
Good morning, everybody. My name is Dennis Bloom. I'm a Khoisan chief from the Free State, and I'm representing COPE in Parliament. Thanks.
Thank you very much. The honorables who introduced themselves are now members of this committee who would listen to the views objectively and engage later on. We are NCOP committee. That's why I did not want to say I'm from Limpopo. I thought would be driving the committee nationally because it's a national committee issue. And then I will be Limpopo when I represent Limpopo as a delegate. I'm trying to clarify that type of thing. But then I would allow the House to introduce themselves, the provinces, and then we kickstart.
Thank you, Chairperson, and honorable members of Parliament. I will try my best to introduce the members of the National House as well as the provincial houses. I'll right away start from myself, Chairperson of the National House of Transgenders, Kosi Kutama. And next to me is the official who has just joined the National House, Mr. Martin Pongosi, who has replaced Mr. Stole Abraham. Members, I'll start with members of the National House. We have got the Deputy Chairperson of the House, Osingove. He's sitting somewhere that side. Osingove is the Deputy Chairperson of the National House. And we've got Hoshihari Muroka. Hoshihari Muroka, she's a member of the Management Committee of the House, the National House. Hoshihari Muroka. Okay, thank you. And next to Hoshihari Muroka is Hosi Magura. Hosi Magura is also a member of Management Committee of the National House. And also Inkosi Ntlapo is also a member of the Management Committee. I think these are the members of Management Committee of the House. Others are not here. Kosi Mzimela and also Mam Shaul, they are not here. Then we, from the provinces, we are supported here by the chairperson of Mpumalanga House of Transgenders, Nkosi Sipho Mashangu. And next to Nkosi Sipho Mashangu is the deputy chairperson of Limpopo House of Traditional Leaders, Nkosi Bone Chimbufe. I think some of the MPs will remember him. He was once a member of this parliament, Nkosi Bone Chimbufe. And next to Nkosi Bone Chimbufe, we've got the deputy chairperson of the House of Eastern Cape, Prince Bans Ngamash. Zoli, thank you. And also the Secretary of the House of Eastern Cape, Mr. Gansu, yes, thank you. I'm sorry for that. From Limpopo, the Chairperson, Hoshi Makheru. Else is that? Okay. We've got the Secretary of the House of Limpopo, Mrs. Kwamban, and also Mr. Stole, who has now joined the department, Abraham Stole, and Mr. Mayring, and Prof. Sobashe. I think the institution is what's that one? Oh, Free State. Yeah, I didn't see them. And now mixed with politicians. the chairperson of the house there is Mrena Mubedi. And I believe the secretary, or maybe somebody with her company, I'm not sure of the particulars of the lady. Ms. Hadden. Okay, thank you. So this is the okay. From KwaZulu-Natal, I think, but it's representing the legislature. Yeah, is Gosim Gles and another person who is accompanying her, who's accompanying Gosim Gles. I'm not sure of the particulars as well. They are representing legislature in KZN. I think they are from the portfolio committee which deals with traditional issues. Thank you.
There's no Gauteng?
Gauteng is not represented here. No. As you are aware that there is no, we don't have a house in Gauteng. We're busy now. We're in the process of trying to establish one. And also Western Cape.
And Northern Cape?
Northern Cape, they're not here, but there is a house.
All right.
Thank you.
Sorry, just one question before we start with this meeting. As I have noticed, I just want to find out, this is the House of National, the National House of Traditional Leaders. This house, does it represent all the traditional communities in the country? Because as I noticed, I might be wrong, there is none of the Griqua and the Khoisan.
Can I call Honorable to order and reserve the question maybe to number 5? Thank you very much. Can we now?
He's supposed to be a Griqua chief, but he has become a politician. Now he's asking the other people. Why is he here?
Thank you, Honorable Bloom, for assisting. I'll now go to item 3 and hand it over to our chairperson, national chairperson, to engage with that. Well,
before that, we were not given a chance to introduce ourselves from the provinces.
Apology, really. It's an oversight.
My name is Nomzwaga Zuswart Boy from KZN, the chairperson of the Cooperative Government and Traditional Affairs. The members of the committee will introduce themselves. I also wanted to ask the national chairperson maybe if he got an apology from the chairperson of the provincial house of the traditional leaders and the secretary, Inkosi Unkosum Upengo and Mr. Mboka.
Chairperson, we did not receive any apology because I believe the invitation was sent directly by the parliament to individual provinces, and I'm not sure as to whether those apologies, maybe they were tendered directly to parliament.
Thank you, Chairperson. I just want to outline the process through which parliament extended the invitation to both the National House and the Provincial Houses. We developed one letter addressed to the chairperson of the National House and the Provincial House. I was working closely with the Secretary of the National House, Ntate Muthubi. And an undertaking was made that all correspondence would be sent to the Secretary of the Provincial House. And a day ago when we made a follow-up with regard to representation, we only noticed that Northwest got the invitation quite late, and due to the lateness of the invitation, they tendered their apology that they won't be part of this meeting. Thank you, Chair.
Thank you very much.
Chairperson, thank you. Maybe as the former secretary was handling the invitations, I think I need to come in here just to clarify the whole process of invitation. Yes, we did engage with the secretary of the portfolio committee, and all invitation came from my office. From Parliament, they invited my office, and I distributed to all houses on the same day, same method, which the same method was three. Firstly, it was from email from my desk, then an email from my secretary and a fax to all houses on the same day, same time. So the apology by Northwest, even yesterday, I had a teleconference with my office and him, wherein the secretary in my office clarified how she processed the invitations now from her side. And every house received those invitations on the same day, same time. Thank you.
Thank you very much. What we need to do is to note so that we will make follow-up and also to discourage that type of an apology, the apology that is not informed, especially when we deal with matters of national interest. We would make follow-up on our side. We would also ask the chairperson of National House to also make follow-up so that next meeting this thing be taken very serious. We would like to see the process of this committee taken very, very serious, precisely because it's a national issue. Even provincial issues must be taken very serious, so as to ensure that indeed we achieve the objective we intend to. I'll then allow the chairperson to take the podium.
Thank you, Chairperson, once again. Chairperson, we are meeting here today maybe first let me appreciate to your good self the Chairperson and the Parliament for extending this invitation to us, both as the national as well as the provincial house of traditional leaders, in order for us to be accorded an opportunity to respond to the presentation made by the department regarding the two bills, and of which our engagement here, Chairperson, will concentrate on a few things on the two bills. We have got two bills here in front of us, the bill which is repealing the National House of Traditional Leaders Act, number 10 of 1997, and we also have the Traditional Leadership and Governance Framework bill, which is amending the Traditional Leadership and Governance Framework Act 41 of 2003. Chairperson, on some of the issues which are raised and which we are going to engage on, the institution feels that we will have to be accorded further an opportunity to have further engagement with the department and the ministry in order to allow both of us to move in the same level of understanding of those issues. But of importance, Chairperson, the issues which we are going to concentrate on, as I said, there are very few. We are going to concentrate more on the question of the commission, which the bill which is amending the Framework Act is also touching on the commission, which deals with the disputes and the claims on the institution. We are also going to address the question of the recognition of the principal traditional leader. Now, on these two aspects, the first one, the commission, The institution of traditional leadership does not have a problem with the provision which is there in the bill. We are in support of that. We are saying that will also assist in fast-tracking the process of investigation and clarifying the positions of various traditional leaders in the country. This question of decentralization of the commission, which need to be devolved into provinces. We are saying the government must continue with that one. The second thing on the commission, Chairperson, it is the question of the powers of the commission. As I said earlier on that there are other issues which the institution would want to engage with the ministry as well as the department. This is one of the aspects we would want to engage the department as well as the ministry. And also to afford traditional leaders themselves an opportunity to have the same understanding on the issue. The question of the powers of the commission here, Chairperson, we are referring to the issue where the bill is trying to take away powers from the commission. Because if you check, the present legislation gives the commission the powers to decide on the issue. And that gives the commission to be independent of any influence, either from government or politicians. And that is the question where we are saying, because the government now here wants to take over that power in order to make the commission a body which recommends to government, we are saying maybe if the commission, if these powers is taken away from the commission, politicians may have interferences in the commission. And therefore, the reason why we are saying maybe we needed to, amongst ourselves as traditional leaders, engage seriously on this aspect and maybe come up with something which will shall have been agreed upon amongst ourselves, and also to further engage the department and the ministry. That is with regard to the commission. Now, when it comes to the recognition of the category of principal traditional leaders, Chairperson, this issue was tabled before the chairpersons of the chairpersons and deputy chairpersons of the houses of traditional leaders by the minister, and the minister asked the provinces as well as national to go and interact on this aspect, and provinces as well as national were afforded an opportunity to comment, and we did that. I have results from a few provinces. Let me start with the Eastern Cape. In fact, at the meeting, Eastern Cape raised the question of not agreeing with the proposal to the minister, right away from the meeting. And in their submission, they also indicated that they do not go along with the proposal by the minister, that a position of a principal traditional leader be created. We also have got a submission from Limpopo, who are also rejecting the proposal of a principal traditional leader, and also Mpumalanga. We don't have any response from Northwest as well as Northern Cape, and we believe, our belief is that maybe it is because those two provinces do not have kings. Because if you look at this question of the principal traditional leader, it is linked with the king. In other words, in order for the principal traditional leader, for the post to be created, the king must have agreed on the establishment of that category. KZN has supported the proposal. For what reason, we don't know. But they said in their document that this happened some times ago. And I think it is the only province which is supporting that. We, Free State, did not respond to that one, if I'm not mistaken. Did not respond to that one, but the chairperson of the House is here. Maybe he will elaborate at a later stage. Now, these are the most crucial aspect in the bill. There are other issues like where the question of the creation of the King's Council. There were differences on some of the aspects regarding the creation of the King's Council, but the creation itself of the King's Council, we all agree on that one. We're only differing that maybe politicians should not be allowed to be part of the King's Council. But when one looks at the perspective, you know, from other countries, you find that in Uganda, politicians are allowed in the Buganda King's Council. Even ministers, they are allowed. But the reasoning behind that, we don't know. But when we look at it amongst ourselves, some were saying, no, maybe politicians should not be part of that because of the setup in the country here. Also the fact that the members of parliament or legislatures, ministers, they are full-time in their places of appointment. The other aspect which I think under the Traditional Leadership and Governance Framework Act, which is also a thorny issue, it's with regard to the question of the council, again on the council, the number of the members of the King's Council. Initially, I think the present bill has changed that, and we appreciate it. Initially, it was said members of the King's Council should be 30. Now they can be more than 30, depending on the size of the kingdom itself. So I think regarding this one, the amendment of the Traditional Leadership and Governance Framework Act, these are the only aspects we would want to raise. And now, when it comes to the National House Act, the only aspect which brought differences between the National House and the department was on the question of the dissolution of the House. But when we look at it now, it has been improved a bit, but we are still not happy with B. The B of Section 21. The House must be dissolved after a vote of what? Because we are saying, our belief is that on the expiry of the term of office of the House, that House dissolves, and then the new House will come. So we don't know the reason why do we want the House to randomly dissolve by a vote or whatever. We really don't know that, the reason behind that. And our belief is that we should retain A and do away with B. We are also happy that the manner in which the question of the representation in the House, particularly where provinces do not have enough senior traditional leaders, it is said the province will look into the question of the headman and as to whether they should be sent. And we are also happy that the emphasis there is still the same, that the National House be the House of which is composed of senior traditional leaders. And one other thing which is also, I think, which is outstanding here, it is the question of the Khoisan, as you heard our colleagues here talking about it. We are aware that there was a process which was discussing the question of the policy of the Khoisan people. And our proposal was that that policy should be integrated into the existing legislation in order to accommodate the Khoisan people into all structures of traditional leaders. And we had thought maybe by now this would have been included in the bill, because we have got a lot of problems. Okay, maybe just to highlight a few things of what transpired some time back when the minister was engaging the provinces. In the Northern Cape, when we were engaging that province, the Khoisan people were promised that they will be part of this, of the House in that province. And that setup is not well understood by the officials, even the politicians in the province. And the suggestion was that they should be included in that province in terms of the procedures which controls that House, so that they are amended in order to accommodate the Khoisan people. And that was done. They are represented there. But now we've got a problem with the Khoisan representing their communities at the national level, because our act does not accommodate the Khoisan people. And we are saying it's high time that that policy, which was pending for a long time, must now come to the fore and be integrated into the act, so that we are able to include the Khoisan people throughout the country and be represented provincially, locally, as well as nationally. The other issue under the National House Bill, okay, maybe under section 11, which is powers and duties of the House. This section, we were looking at it. You know, the manner in which our powers and functions were cast with the former act, they were very clear for us to advise government on the request of the president as well as the government. Now, the president is no longer figuring on this one. I can see that, yes, we do that to the government. But when it was specifically stated that we will also engage with the president, it was good for us. And we would want that paragraph to be paragraph to be included here, so that we are able to engage with the office of the president as and when we so wish. So, in short, these are the issues we would want to reflect to the select committee. And my colleagues will also add a few things if they so wish. Thank you, Chairperson.
Thank you very much for leading the submission. I will then allow members of the House who want to add to what the National Chairperson has said. Any member who want to add?
Thank you very much for allowing us also to make some comments in addition to those of the National Chairperson. Firstly, we would like from the Free State, my name is Matia Diramubedi from the Free State. I'm the Chairperson.
Just pause, carry a little. I thought members of the House, they are executive with the House before the provinces. I thought they just pardon me for that. I thought before the provinces, there are members of the at the level of national who want to add, if there's a.
Thank you, Chairperson and honorable members. Maybe just to add on the issue of the commission on the governance framework, the decentralization of the function of the commission into provinces. It's also the issue of the screening that is being proposed, that we felt that this matter of dispute has been long outstanding, and one of the reasons that makes it to be long outstanding is that each and every case or each and every matter is being referred to the commission, and it takes a lot of time to do investigation, and we feel that the royal families and the inner circle family should be involved in some of these disputes that might actually be of that nature to that level. Not everything must be taken to the commission. A screening process system should be established to make sure that, because some of these things, they are not of a high-tech type of an issue. They are family issues, and the families are in the position to can resolve those issues. But in most cases, you find that the people who are raising the dispute, they don't even consult the royal family, the inner family. They just run to the National Commission, and you find that it takes a long time to investigate and resources. Meanwhile, that matter could be easily resolved traditionally and customary by those immediate families. Thank you, Chair.
Thank you very much. Is there any other additions from national level? Thank you. I will then allow
Thank you very much, Chairperson. Like I indicated, my name is Makedra Mopedi. I'm the chairperson of the Free State House of Traditional Leaders. And firstly, we would like to make comments on the National House of Traditional Leaders Act. We want to register our acceptance of the bill as amended by the National Assembly. And just would like to comment maybe on the concern of the National House of Traditional Leaders in terms of Section 21 B, which proposes that the House should be also dissolved after a vote supported by a two-thirds majority of the full complement. We think that is not necessary. We support that objection. We think the only provision should be A, that is, it should be dissolved on the expiry of the term of the office of the House. That is the only comment that we would have on the National House of Traditional Leaders Bill. In terms of the Traditional Leadership and Governance Framework Amendment Act, we certainly do not agree with the National House on its comments regarding the issue of principal traditional leadership. And I must indicate to you, Chairperson and members of the committee, that we have not, as traditional leaders, discussed this issue amongst ourselves to say whether we agree with that proposal or not. It is only the National House that has formulated maybe a position on that without maybe consulting us on this issue. I hear the National House is saying that this principal traditional leadership is a creation of the department. It's not in accordance with customary law. I will have a problem with that kind of submission because, according to me, my understanding of custom is a usage that has developed over a period of time to be a rule. And it is very clear that over a period of time, there is some position of traditional leadership that has evolved, and which is neither that of a king nor a senior traditional leadership, but a position which is in between those two categories. That is now the king and the senior traditional leadership. And I think that the department is trying to give recognition to that usage, to that custom that has evolved over a period of time. It is not creating anything out of the blue. And I think we must also accept that things can't be the way they were 200 years or 100 years back. I mean, the institution itself is a dynamic institution. It changes also with the time to accommodate the changing needs of society. And so we would agree with the department that there is, in fact, a position of traditional leadership that is between the senior traditional leadership and kingship that has developed over time and that it is only being given recognition to. However, we do not agree with the department that the position of principal traditional leadership should be linked to a kingship. Because although there is this hierarchy, that is now at the highest level is a king, There are places where there are no kings. There are only senior traditional leaders. For instance, in the province of Northwest, we only have senior traditional leadership, and they are not linked to any kings and so on and so on. So, in other words, what I'm saying, Chairperson, is that the positions of traditional leadership does not depend on the existence of a king. So there might be a position of senior traditional leadership without there being a king. And so why should there be a position of principal traditional leadership only where there is a king? So our submission in this regard is that the position, the bill should give recognition to that position of principal traditional leader, which has evolved over time, but it should not be linked to the existence or dependent on the existence of a kingship in a particular community. So that is our comment in that regard, Chairperson. But our last comment here, I think we welcome the changes that have been brought to the composition and the functioning of the Commission on Disputes of Traditional Leadership. And we fully support now the status that the bill seeks to give to the Commission. Because the current Commission, if I may say so, Chairperson, had become too arrogant. In the sense that it had too much power. And they openly even said that their decision is final on issues and that even the president cannot change their decisions and so on. In other words, they were trying to tell us that they can take any decision whatever. And now if you want to change that decision, you have to go to court, to the High Court. And that is a cumbersome procedure that involves money and stuff like that. And really, we think the status that is now being proposed is quite appropriate in the sense that it makes recommendations now to the president and the minister, and then for the executive then to govern. I mean, the function of the executive is to govern. And then to make decisions on those issues and so on. So we welcome those changes that have been brought about. Well, insofar as the decisions of the Commission regarding the kingship and paramountcy, we don't have a suggestion at the moment of what should be done, because now the bill is suggesting that those paramountcies or kingships that have been found not to be kingships or paramountcies in terms of customary law, then they should continue to exist until the current incumbent maybe dies, and then thereafter that paramountcy or kingship ceases to exist. Well, this is a very difficult question, because from now, henceforth, for instance, a person might live for 50 years, and that paramountcy remains recognized for that. And that makes it to be entrenched in society. I mean, society, because now we are trying to give effect to what the community, the society, accepts there. And now if they accept a person as their king, and now can we make a law that says, no, this person is not a king, and yet that community or that the society accepts that person as their king? And that is in terms of their usage, their custom. They accept that person as a king. And now is Parliament empowered maybe to make a law that says, no, although you say this person is your king, he's not a king? Well, I've got serious problems about that kind of approach, Chairperson. Thank you.
Thank you very much for
Free State submission. Can we go to the next province? Let's have Eastern Cape.
Yeah, thank you, Honorable Chair, Honorable Members of the Committee, colleagues from provinces, the administration. Let me also, Chair, on behalf of the Eastern Cape, express our view that says we support the envisaged amendment of these two pieces of legislation. I will start with the Traditional Leadership and Governance Framework Act. In relation to that legislation, Honorable Chair, as you are aware, and the honorable members of parliament, that South Africa has undergone a process of transformation. Virtually affecting all institutions and organs of civil society, including the institution of traditional leadership. That has also given rise to the reconstitution of traditional leadership institutions, for instance, the traditional councils. However, that seems to be, or rather to remain, a cosmetic exercise, in the sense that even the bill itself, if you look at the financial implications, it says none. So what it actually says is that this kind of transformation is merely a token of structural reform, which does not talk to issues that relate to meaningful role participation played by these institutions in issues of governance that are properly resolved. This legislation does not seem to pose an obligation on that part, and I think it's a weakness which we have since seen happening, in that even in most areas where they have since been transformed, they have not been fully operational due to the fact that there is no obligation, statutory obligation, that says they should be fully funded. And as I say, the very bill, if you look at it in terms of financial implications, it tells you, it says in bold letters, none. So it's a concern. Then, secondly, Chair, let me zoom into this issue that talks to principal traditional leaders. And let me confirm that as the Eastern Cape, we have widely consulted on this issue. And we have since formulated a view that was presented before the House in session and ultimately endorsed. A view that says, if we look into the history, whether the by way of evolution, revolution for that matter. Clearly, you would not find a situation where you have a position of a principal traditional leader to an extent that we probably would expect maybe we would have a rector kind of a traditional leader, because you do have a senior, you now have a principal. Maybe we're looking for a headmaster or rector. I don't know how. But as I say, we would love, in as much as it is important to transform the institution, democratize its institutional structures. However, that should not adulterate the essence and the genuineness of the institution itself, that which should resemble the pride of the individual nations of our country. And as such, on the basis of that, we thought that indeed we will not find it palatable or at least acceptable to be so encouraged to agree to that which will, in a way, amount or be tantamount to a creation for which the apartheid governments and their surrogates were said to have done. So we think that we have made up our minds. We have a very clear view as the Eastern Cape. Unless any facts to the contrary would be brought forth to say, in history, in this house, we have at least had this kind of position, and that person was so-and-so. And then we would have to say, in terms of the genealogy, who is the person now who is supposed to occupy that position? So history and custom must support this, so that this government is not equally seen to be perpetually creating that which has been condemned in the past. On the Commission on Disputes and Claims, we accept the amendment that says you now have to have commissioners who will be assigned to provinces. I suppose, Chair, this needs to be prefaced by a view that says traditional leadership is a Schedule 4 constitutional competence. And as such, if we agree that it's a Schedule 4 competency, obviously, it would have created space for these spheres of government to participate in the course of execution of the function. But now, if you look at the conduct and approach of the current commission, right from the inception, it has been exclusively national. and would then ask a legitimate question that says, if that approach has actually, whether by omission, I cannot imagine that it has been deliberate. I can only suppose that it has been an omission on the part of the legislation or legislators then. If we agree that indeed it was an omission which then necessitates this kind of restructuring, what would then be the status of the constitutional validity of the work already done? It's not for us, but it's for the legislators to deal with that. And also, we are of the view that the powers of that commission, like all other commissions in the country, for instance, you have the Commission on Remuneration of Public Office Bearers, chaired by then, it was then chaired by the Deputy Chief Justice of the country, a second person in command of the judiciary. But that commission could only recommend. Now you have a commission merely chaired by an academic. Whose knowledge and capacity in relation to traditional leadership issues has not been tested. And you say that person must make decisions on matters that relate to history and custom, areas of which there is uncertainty in terms of competency. Obviously, Chair, it's all reasonable and fair to say that commission must merely recommend. And again, you look into Section 20 of the Principal Act. In relation to the configuration of the departments as of now, notwithstanding the fact that even then, the Department of Education, I suppose, by omission, reasonable omission, it was not there. And I think it's important to also, in the course of amending this piece of legislation, we look into that, so as to make sure that the institution of traditional leadership exercises a meaningful role in ensuring that governance is as smooth as is possible. Remember, South Africa is both metropolitan and cosmopolitan. Some of our people reside, if not quite a sizable majority, in rural areas where traditional leadership exercises jurisdiction. So it's important to create space for this institution to make sure that the entire governance machinery becomes successful in the execution of its mandate. Similarly, Chair, if you also look into the local houses of traditional leaders, that you now extend, saying not only to be an exclusive terrain to senior traditional leaders, is welcome, because Section 8 of the Act clearly gives meaning to different hierarchical positions of traditional leadership. And such positions should find expression in the various institutional arrangements that we have, locally, provincially, and nationally, so that you have consistency in dealing with these issues. Let me then, Chair, as the last point, deal with issues that relate to the National House of Traditional Leaders. As Eastern Cape Chair, though we respect the views that some of us express in terms of the representation, or rather the composition of the National House, our view is that in line with both the transformation and democratization of the institution, we have provinces with various numbers of traditional leaders. To simply say 3 members per province, it is not fair to the broader representation. Remember, these members are supposed to relate to provinces, work with constituencies. And if you can look into the National Council of Provinces, I'm almost certain that you are an embodiment that epitomizes the kind of democratic structure that ought to resemble the ideal of that which is reflective of the will of the people. And therefore, to us, it is quite fundamental to say representation in the National House must be in accordance, or at least proportionate, to the number of traditional leaders per province. Then that is fair. This must be understood and accepted within the spirit that says it is in no way intended to undermine undermine those provinces that are few in numbers. Obviously, through the principle, you know, of engagement, certainly all provinces would have their views respected and expressed. That chairperson also talks to the membership. We accept that the membership is not the sole exclusive participation of senior traditional leaders. We accept that. And similarly, Chair, when you talk to the status of those members, you can imagine the National House of Traditional Leaders, only 2 members are full-time, the chairperson and the deputy. To us, Chair, with humility, it does not assist proper representation and participation. I cannot understand why, as we speak now, only 20 members of the National House cannot all of them be full-time. You will realize that this legislation creates space for legislation that border within Section 76 of our Constitution to be referred to these houses. Now, how do you expect a house with only two full-time members to really exercise that which is expected quite diligently and efficiently? So to ask, Chair, the question of full-time status to be limited only to them being appointed as such by President after probably consultation with the National House, that should be removed from the bill. We simply have all the members of the National House upon a sworn in as members, they assume a full-time position. It will really make a meaningful environment for this layer of traditional leadership to really participate quite meaningfully and ensure that the role of traditional leadership is actually exercised diligently. And of course, I'm also concerned, Chair, as Eastern Cape, that the administration thereof to the National House is there by secondment. It's a grave concern. It's worse, Chair, with the other officers that are supposed to support the secretary. Those officers must be designated by the department. We think that the National House, as a statutory body established by a piece of legislation, must be able to have a staff component of its own. Of course, like all other institutions, they will be appointed in terms of the Public Service Act and any other regulatory framework that would be agreed upon. And lastly, Chair, we propose as Eastern Cape that in line with what has been proposed with other houses, even in the National House, when electing leadership, there must be an electoral college which ought to take into account the participation of various leadership or participation and or representation of various institutional positions that are there. So that as it is happening with local houses, you have an electoral college, and it's clearly defined how it should be constituted. Now, that should also apply in all other houses, because there you must elect a person in an elective body that is all representative, so that the outcome must be supported by all. And that outcome must be as a result of a democratic process, which is open, free, and fair. I close my case. Thank you.
Thank you very much, Chair of Eastern Cape. Can we go to KZN? Not represented? Mpumalanga?
Thank you, Honorable Chair, Amakhosi, that are here, members of the legislature, and our support staff that is here. I think most of the points deliberate on have been covered by both the National House of Traditional Leaders and the other provinces that have also been presented. But I think I would just want to stress on a few areas. I think even though that they've stressed on, but I would also want to touch on those areas that that they have touched on, just one or two. One would want to support the National House, you know, that we welcome this bill and the amendments that have been made to this bill, that have been made to these two bills, especially the one on Traditional Leadership Framework Act. But I think what one would want to stress on is the issue on the principal traditional leaders. I think the chairperson did allude that provinces have made submissions, and those provinces that have made submissions, most of them disagree with this principal traditional leader, because in our terms, especially in the province, we do not know what we call them. We feel that what government is trying to do, I think, I don't know whether it is, you know, consciously or unconsciously done, but we feel that through the back door they are trying to implement the recommendations of the commission, that those traditional leaders that have been declared as not being kings, they want to give them that status of a principal traditional leader, and of which I don't think we would agree to that as a province, because there is a feeling that what the commission has done, they were trying to rewrite history, because they've made recommendations on things in other areas, on things that happened between 400 and 600 years ago. So you've had the rulings that have been made in regards to that, and you've had communities that have always known that they have a king, and all of a sudden it would be a principal traditional leader, that they would not even know what to refer to it. So we feel that the through this bill, probably the department was just trying to come up with a shortcut in terms of making sure that they implement this part. When it comes to the powers of the commission, it is true what the National House Chairperson has said, that we still need to engage on this issue, because we do not feel that it is fair to have a commission that would be a power on itself, that would play all the roles and make rulings on its own without having those recommendations passing somewhere to be tested. So we'd support the recommendations of the bill that the commission should have powers to recommend to the president and also to government on their recommendations. Because what we've seen is, I mean, if we have to reverse this process, because what you must know is that when the commission rules on whatever that they've decided on, it is the affected people that are supposed to reverse that. So we expect the very same poor people that are in rural areas, where we know that people are extremely poor, to go to the Supreme Court, because the money that would be used to fight government, it is money that is going to come to the very same poor people, because they are the ones currently now trying to put together money to fight government on something that could have been avoided. So we are saying we're trying to elevate the status of the institution, and also trying to assist people in the rural communities to be better. But on the other hand, we're coming up with processes that are just going to make them poorer and poorer. So
I would feel that one way or the other, instead of this rule that says that the recommendations that have been made by the commission have to via the Supreme Court, probably we might have to relook at this. If not, I would honestly think or feel that government must come into play in terms of supporting whatever what the institution that will be taking the commission to court financially, because I know it will amount to millions, and those millions are expected to come from the rural people. And on changing decisions that had, things that had been there for centuries, and now people are expected to pop out money to be able to change those decisions. So would ask that probably if it cannot be looked at, government find a way of assisting those communities in terms of fighting this, because I know that all the affected paramounts and kings are taking the commission to court, all six of them. So one can imagine the amount of money that has to be popped out by these communities to fight a decision that we created as government that had nothing to do with those communities. Now they find themselves having to defend something that was not of their creation, that they had found existing in their communities that for centuries. So I think we would want government to partake in that. I think that's mainly that in terms of the Framework Act. I think coming to the National Houses Act, we were of the view that probably the term secretary, I think it is causing a lot of confusion in provinces, because you have secretaries that have secretaries, and you have local houses secretaries, so there's just too many secretaries where I think there is a bit of a confusion, in terms of when you're saying secretary, who do you refer to? Either we might have to come up with a term or probably refer to them as CEOs or something, I think, but I would propose that we relook at the term of that. I think in section 10, where it talks about the status of members of the House, we would support the view of the Eastern Cape that members must be full time. I think this is evident that, when they are not full-time, I think it creates problems even in provinces, where you find that now you have the recommendations that have been made by the Muzaneke Commission, the Remuneration Commission. It's been 2 years now that the recommendations have been made that members of houses, it's almost 2 years now, have to be paid pension. But government, provincial government, do not know on what basis are they supposed to calculate the pension on the members of houses, because you have members being paid from a different department. You have the house belonging, falling under a different department. So, and because houses in Mozambique do not necessarily have budgets, members are sitting idle because there is no money for them to do projects. And you find that maybe a member has only had one sitting in 3 months, and members are paid according to a sitting allowance. It becomes a bit difficult now on how do you calculate a pension on the sitting allowance. It means that pension has to be calculated on the 600 rands, that is a pension allowance, or, where that is a sitting allowance, or, on what basis are they to calculate that pension. So it creates a bit of problems, but it's not only that. But for us to be able to make a difference, as the president and both the president and the minister have said that they want to put the institution at the center of rural development, how do we do that if members cannot do their work because there are no budgets and you only have two members that are full-time? I think we're putting a serious strain on them. I think if one would make an example as a full-time chairperson in the province, I do on average 15,000 kilometers a month, having to drive around the length and breadth of the province. In fact, I'm always on the road trying, you know, to do things that could have been done by other members of the House, because government or the House does not have money to pay members a sitting allowance. You cannot send any other person to do what could have been done by a local traditional leader that decides from there. I think it creates a lot of problems for us as the House. And also, there are other projects that we'd want to do, but we cannot do because we do not have people that would do that. Whatever project that we come up with, it has to be done by either the chairperson or the deputy chairperson, of which we think that is a problematic. In terms of Section 12 on the administration of the House, I think we would suggest that the administration of the House should be left to the chairperson and the executive to regulate on matters that relate to capacitating of their staff, and also making sure that we have a complete staff as the House, because one would make an example that if you are a provincial chairperson and there is a CEO that is being employed by the Premier or the MEC concerned within the House, one does not necessarily have any powers on that CEO. Whether the CEO is on leave, you wouldn't know. You just don't know who the CEO reports to. All that you have to concern yourself with is mainly members of the House. That's where one has to focus. Even though you see that there's a lot of things that are not going right within your department, you cannot necessarily have a say, because those people are not necessarily reporting to you, and yet you are supposed to be a full-time executive within that institution. I think it creates a problem. So that should be, in terms of the hiring of the chairperson and the staff of the House. In fact, the chairperson should be left to the chairperson and the executive. And in terms of the staff, I think the CEO, together with the chairperson, would then make sure that the House is properly constituted. I think we we would also probably ask Parliament to advise us in relation to the status of the House, because it is a bit of a problem in terms of falling under a department. How do you play an oversight role on that department that you fall under? If you fall under the Premier's office, how do you, because I think as part of our duties, we're supposed to play an oversight role, but we are unable to do that because you are under a department and an administration. You cannot necessarily, question them on things that you need to question them on, because you sometimes do not want to, you do not want to shake the powers that pays you. So I think if maybe Parliament could advise us, because we'd prefer that we become a legal entity as we have been set up by a piece of legislation, that we be separate from the executive or from the control of the executive. But as it is now, we are under control either of a minister or not a minister, MEC, or a minister as it comes to the National House, hence the secondment of staff and the hiring of our staff for us, and we have nothing to say on that. That is our submission as the province. Thank you.
Thank you very much, Can we then have Northern Cape? It's not there. Limpopo.
Thank you, Mr. Chairperson. Honorable members of the Select Committee, Chairperson of the National House, Deputy, and the provincial counterparts, officials present. I think you all acknowledge the complexity of the matter at hand and the difficulty of one having to speak after everybody has spoken and all the facts have been stated. But let me put it this way. In Limpopo, we regard Parliament as having a responsibility for oversight with regard not only to the promulgation but to the implementation of legislation. There is a general discontent among traditional leaders and their communities with regard to the manner in which legislation relating to traditional leaders are being handled. Traditional Leadership Governance Framework Act was passed in 2003, if not 2004, and most of the provisions of this legislation have not been put into effect. In some, or in my province, constitution of traditional councils has not been effected. Although local houses have been put in place, they are not functional, they are not properly funded. That creates a problem, Mr. Chairperson, because it's not only about promulgating laws, but it's about implementing and laws, so that when time comes for such laws to be reviewed, we can, with all certainty and surety, say there is a need for review. There is a need for a fresh look at the present circumstances. So we appeal to Parliament in its role as an oversight agent to really take into account the financial implications of traditional institutions. We cannot create institutions that are not properly funded. Otherwise, we are setting a precedence where some would say there is no need for these institutions because they cannot discharge their mandate. But we are being hampered by the non-provision of resources. At national level, where kingship in terms of this law is set to reside, there was a draft, Mr. Sobhati will come to my help, was a draft what it relates to kings, which has to regulate the operation of kings. It was spearheaded by Mr. Sobhati and his unit. Up to this time, nothing has come of it. Can we say with surety that we take this institution very seriously when this kind of gaps continue even during our present times? Surely somebody would say kingships are still under the spotlight, but that, in my view, cannot be an excuse. We have to lay all the foundations. When the time is ripe for the kingships to assume their responsibilities, the ground should have been leveled. Coming to the commission, we as Limpopo agree with the department that the commission has not done its job properly. It has failed to achieve its mandate. We also acknowledge the reasons thereof, amongst which would be the composition of the commission. We agree that a fresh start has to be made with regard to the composition, provincial commissioners, that is fine. coming to the powers of the commission, in our view as a province, we believe that there were reasons why government and the people of this country wanted the commission to be truly independent. Not only in its way of operating, but including how it takes its decisions, the force of its decisions. We believe the main reason was to steer away from political interventions. Among the reasons given for a need to change by the department, it is not a question of capacity of the sitting members of the commission. We as a province are not convinced that to speed up the process of the commission, we need to have the minister or the president to decide. The minister can be likened to any other person, be it an academic or a judge. They may be fallible, but they may be inclined to take political decisions. The best way would be to look out for the suitably qualified people with necessary credentials to take care of this daunting task of having to decide. The complexity of this issue comes in this way. If we decide as a country to do away with these powers and hand them over to the minister or the president, what happens to the decisions already taken? What happens to the decisions already taken? In our view, the decisions were taken in good faith, after consideration of all factors present or available at the commission's disposal at the time. Once we say such decisions should be nullified, it's just as good as saying there shouldn't be any commission anymore. What if the minister comes up with a different decision altogether? To those who would be affected by such decision, it would be difficult to convince them that this is not a political decision. We cannot, as a country, avoid litigations, whether the decision has been taken by the minister or any other person appointed. There will always be cause for a litigation. So the decisions of the commission should stand, and capable people who are full-time should be appointed as leaders of this commission so that we speed up the process as quickly as possible. It's a question of capacity. Principal traditional leader, as the chairperson of the National House and my other colleagues have said, the white paper on traditional leadership and governance, as well as other policy documents of government, have as their intention to restore the dignity of traditional leadership. Surely, the creation of this type of a position, in our view as a province, does not even attempt or come nearer to that ideal situation of restoring dignity. The people of this country, during that white paper process, have clearly said we've got three levels of traditional leadership. And any other level would be a peculiar circumstance to a particular province. And that cannot be taken to be official. That is when government came to the conclusion that those who have been referred to as kings and paramount were fused together into one category. So it does not serve the institution in any way to create another level. There must be reasons, and we don't find any in the submissions of government, why there is a need for a principal traditional leader who, like my colleague from Free State said, would only be one per kingship. I would understand if the proposal was said, let's introduce another layer where those who claim to be principal traditional leaders or any other name that could be accorded to that position would make applications for such. Because there are other traditional leaders who are not linked to kingship, who are generally regarded as being of a senior status. But this is not what the bill intends to do. It says only where there is a king. This, Mr. Chairperson of the Select Committee, does not serve South Africa. It's a new creation which does not help our cause. So as a province, we don't even contemplate to support this kind of inventions, which does not have the spirit of restoring the dignity of our institution. With regard to the National House of Traditional Leaders, we have always believed as a province that the National House remains our voice and face, and that of Woshi and traditional communities in South Africa. And any efforts that are made to strengthen these institutions are welcome, because we believe we cannot as provinces reach out to our dreams and aspirations if the National House is not well capacitated in all respects, including in terms of legislation. So the amendments hereby proposed, which in our view seeks to give more strength, especially with regard to relationship between the National House and other provincial or local houses, are welcomed, because we want to see a stronger and capable National House which will be able to speak on behalf of all of us and our communities. Like I said, Mr. Chairperson, when you have to speak, when everything has been said, it may become difficult. Thank you for the time.
Thank you very much. That concludes the provincial house, but I would want to allow everyone, including members of the committee, just a space to engage with the input. However, the committee is not going to provide any answer now. It's premature to can provide anything, but would want anyone, including members of the committee, to engage by asking questions for clarity, inputs, but not inputs that would create bills over this bill. We don't want any creation of any other new thing that would create another bill. There I will be very, very strict on that one. We'll just note it and pack it somewhere, because you can't be authoritative to your authoritative traditional leaders. But we'll just note it and pack it somewhere. You'll just see it nowhere in any document. But the time is now for you, honorables, to engage. That one. I saw the hand this side. Everyone, including yourself. Watson, I just want to identify hands. I have that hand that side. Watson, Bloom. Yeah, you can start.
Thank you for Honorable Chairperson of the Select Committee and the Honorable Members of the Select Committee.
Just tarry a little. Over, besides the members of the committee who will ask questions for clarity, those of you who will be speaking will be called others, because I don't want to mix the provincial submissions that we had with general comments. We'll just say others, other few.
No, thank you. You may call me others, but... it will be the same. Thank you very much, Honorable Chairperson and Honorable Members of the Select Committee, as well as Honorable Amakosi and Dizinkosi, Mahosi, Tihosi. You know, I think we are once again missing the boat. I mean, both of us as people, as Makosi, as leadership of this country, as provinces, we have a chance here to change things for the better. We are toying with words which we don't even understand. As Professor Ellison Khan once said, language, English, may be a defective medium. Sometimes it's very defective. It doesn't give what we want it to say. For instance, what is this called, this traditional leadership or senior traditional principal or whatever? Why don't we use our African denominations, like for the names, like for instance, Isilo Semavandla, Ukumkani, Tovele, Ngonyama, Ingokas? Why do we go and ourselves, even the drafters, I don't know, sometimes it boggles my mind to see drafters will still go, of legislation will still go back and draft this traditional leadership. What? It doesn't mean anything. Why don't we call it Inkosi? Ukumkani, the hierarchy, our hierarchy is so clear on this. It's not confusing. But we're still dealing with something. We're creating something which is foreign, even perpetuating colonial and apartheid nomenclatures. Why? Why don't we call an Inkosi an Inkosi? Isilo Semavandla is an Isilo Semavandla. Ukumkani is an Ukumkani. Tovela is a Tovela. Ngonyama. Zavezitha is Zavezitha. That's what I wanted to add. Well, let us not, please, honorable members of the Select Committee, miss this boat. Let us make it right. Thank you.
Thank you, Watson.
Thank you, Chairperson. Khotsobo Morena Libahosi. Baye de Bongos. My concern, Chair, and maybe... we should have discussed this later, but while the traditional representatives are here, we as a house cannot sit here, listen to them and change the bill. I mean, we are representatives of the provinces. So the second bite in legislation in the house, when I said the house, the National Council of Provinces, the second house of parliament, has to be input via the provinces. So what we can do, we can now go, we have been briefed on the bills. We can go back to the provinces and we can go and brief our provinces. But in my program, I see that the submissions of the national and provincial houses of traditional leaders will be sent to the provinces for information. I take it that would be this document that we've received today, plus the minutes capturing in full what every single representative has said. I just want clarity on that. So that, because we cannot go and brief the way I see it. We are not equipped to go and brief the provinces on the feelings of the Bahochi that are sitting here, representing the national and provincial houses. Am I capturing it correct? That we can simply table what has been said and by way of information submit that in advance before we do our briefings. I want to get clarity on that, Chair, so I hope we're all singing from the same hymn book.
Honorable Bloom.
Thank you very much. Thank you very much, Chairperson. And good afternoon to everybody. You know, Chairperson, listening to the honorable people here, you know, I was sitting and thinking that, yes, we are here to make laws. But personally, I think that these people who are sitting here, who have made presentations and who is speaking to us, are very much qualified and suitable people to lead us in this thing. They are working with this thing, and we, and I'm saying, I'm speaking on behalf of COPIA, that we must listen and take direction from them, what they want, because they know what is hampering them, what is bothering them, and how these bills and laws must be put in parliament. And I will definitely support what they. I mean, this is early moments now, but listening to their concerns and what they have raised, we must take it serious as a committee. That is all that I wanted to say, Chair, for now.
Honorable Matira. No, Chair, I agree with the members that maybe it will be important, having had this submission here, that there are going to be provincial hearings, that it will be important that through those hearings, these members, our honorables here, must go and make that those submissions there for provinces to give us mandates to come and deal with this particular situation. But the point I wanted to raise, Chair, is that in terms of dissolution, because I hear that there's a problem around point B on dissolution.
Yeah.
Now, I'm not sure. We need to be advised as to if there's a problematic problem, a problem that has to be dealt with at some point, you cannot wait until such time that the term ends. It might happen in the middle of that term. I'm not sure how long a house, the whole term of that particular house, you know? You need to do something in the middle, you know. Something has to happen. And one way is to dissolve that particular house. You see, you can't wait for that term. Now, you need to advise us as to, if we remove clause B, how do you deal with that situation then? You know, because there must be a situation. You see, now, how do you, if you remove clause B, maybe if you can give us some more input in as far as that particular area is concerned. Maybe advise us as to how we deal with that particular situation. Because this is unlike. Because this is a house that is created democratically, you know. And you can only deal with it democratically if you dissolve it. You see? And I need some understanding, Chair, if they can, that can be clarified.
Yes, Chair.
No. Thank you, Chairperson. I want to put forward three things here which are very much crucial. The first thing, Chairperson, is about the institution of traditional leadership. And this, in a way, it will support what Kosibo Nechimov has said.
The institution of traditional leadership, it is not the institution of traditional leaders themselves alone. It is the institution of the nation, the community. It is not controlling itself. It is not there alone. It is there because of the people. That is one thing which we must understand as people, as a nation, as a community. I'm saying this because if we don't take this thing from this point, sorry, Jefferson. Jefferson, I'm saying this because if we don't address the question of the institution along that line, then we will all miss the point. Because everybody expects traditional leaders to come up with something. And I once said, I think it was in this room, or some in one of the rooms of parliament, that the people of this country must change their mindset, wherein they start making input on behalf of the institution of traditional leadership, whether traditional leaders are there or not. Because we all know about this institution. You find people in an area of an inkosi, because now they've shifted into a town, they look and seem like people who do not understand about the institution. Now, what I'm trying to say at this point, Chairperson, is that let us, all of us, as parliamentarians, as politicians, talk about this institution, and let us take this institution as our institution, not as traditional leaders' institution. That's why we are missing the point. All of us. This is our institution. All of us. It is not the institution of traditional leadership leaders alone. It is working with people. It is addressing the issues of the people, and therefore all of us must be involved in all its activities. That is the first aspect I wanted to raise, Chairperson. The second one is that in my presentation I said there are a lot of issues which need further engagement with the department and with the ministry. And I'm happy now that some of the honorable members here are raising the question that, or maybe the issue that what is captured, what is being captured here, will then be forwarded to provinces, so that provinces engage on those issues, because they are the people who are directly dealing with the institution there. I'm happy about that one. Now, my point here was just to re-emphasize the question that I think it is important, even for Parliament, to say to the Ministry and to the Department, please, re-engage traditional leaders on some of these issues, so that whenever we finalize this bill, we deal with it once and for all. The last question I want to raise, Chairperson, it is the question of implementation of policies and legislations and other decisions which are taken by government. It is true, Chairperson, that we are lagging as government and as people in implementing policies, and we tend to take a long time. If you can check this whole legislation, the Traditional Leadership and Governance Framework Act was passed in 2003. And up until this today, the question of the local houses, KZN was the first,
I think it was followed by Mpumalanga, and then I think it was Free State, if I'm not mistaken, and it was Limpopo. Other, of the late, I think it's the Northern Cape. I think it's the, I'm not sure, I don't think Eastern Cape has started, because they don't have, their legislation is still pending. Yeah, for the local office. Yes, it's still pending. You know, if you can look at this thing, from 2003, we're in 2009, Parliament was not making a follow-up on this thing. Parliament was supposed to be asking the department, ministry, as to what is it that which is happening regarding this legislation which we passed as Parliament during this year. That is not happening. And the department would also come here and tell lies. I mean, this is unfair. It's unfair on the part of the institution, and it's unfair on the part of the whole nation of this country. Because the nation is aware that this has been passed, but when it comes to implementation, there's nothing. I've raised this thing with the minister, the new minister.
Honorable Chair, if we could mind and confine ourselves to what is raised here, there will be a time in which you will meet the department and engage on other mindset. But
yes,
for now, I thought we'll concentrate on what has been raised and questioned.
Yes, I'm just highlighting one aspect. I mean, a chapter, sir. Because if we don't tell you these things, you are not going to be aware of them. I am aware, Chairperson. You know, like I was saying, I have engaged the minister. And the reason why some of these things are coming now so strongly, it is because the minister is strong, and he has got the passion of the institution, and he wants to see everything moving. So it is important that some of these aspects, you know, if I can tell you something now, Chairperson and honorable member, the Chairperson, the Deputy Chairperson of the National House, Provincial House, maybe even the local houses in other provinces, if one of us could be involved in an accident or maybe I get sick, it is terrible. It is going to be terrible. We are not involved in any medical scheme. We are not even covered on anything. What is that, Chairperson and Honorable Parliament? What is that? I mean, if I get sick to such an extent that I must go to the hospital and spend some time in hospital, who is going to foot the bill? I mean, now as we speak, all these chairpersons who have spoken here, they can support what I'm saying. Even the legislation here, like they said, it is saying nothing about, it will talk about remuneration and all those other things. But what are those things which they are talking about? These are the issues we must spell out now, Chairperson. There is no other time than this one. We must exhaust our effort in trying to address these bills so that they become clear, so that even the traditional leaders who are not in the houses, they must be able to understand them. These are just a few things I wanted to raise. Thank you.
Thank you very much. KwaZulu Natal legislators, I don't want you to just go. If you have something to express, you are free. The Democratic Committee, I know the House is not here, but legislators here, you are part of us. You can express a view so that the thing is what.
Thank you, Chairperson, Honorable Portfolio Committee members, Honorable Makosi, officials of the department. Mine is a general comment, which I think won't be irrelevant. Much has been said about concerns raised by both honorable members of the provinces and the National House and honorable members here. I don't have much to say, but my concern is how this institution is treated amongst all the newly established structures of government. The Constitution merely recognizes merely the institution of traditional leadership, and that is all. Recognition without power, without function, from there, it's just quiet. Instead, if progress has to be implemented, it takes time and something new as a delaying tactic is put in place. For how long will we wait for government to take this institution serious? I'm appealing to government to please be serious with this institution, because always commission after commission is established on different issues without any of them being finalized. I think, as far as I'm concerned, there's a motive behind all this. I thank you.
Thank you very much. Yeah, I think we have concluded the submission from National House. Oh, now it's the speak you have spoken. You will spoil my hearing. We have your view, and we believe that we'll have a way forward. But point of emphasis is that you have a bill before you. You have expressed whatever you have expressed. The National House of Traditional Leader led the submission. The provinces also added, some differed, some agreed. The general aspect that some of them might be new, they will be saved. We have adopted a program on the 25th. Today is the 2nd of September. It's the day of the houses, both the province and the national, to make these submissions. And we have them. The departmental secretaries are here, committee secretaries are here. On the 15th September, the department will be responding in front of the committee with all the submissions that we have made. We are a select committee. We need to refine. We need to take into consideration the interests of all the role players. And we are not an executive. We are a legislative body which must, at the end of the day, pass a legislation that inherently satisfies all the stakeholders. But there will be no perfection. I think that you must note that we will never have a perfect legislation. It will keep on being reviewed, assessed, until those that come maybe after us take it forward. As long as we have a person is a dynamic being, there will always be changes in any law that exists. And therefore, we would indeed represent the feeling of this submission as we meet with the department. And we're also going to invite the House to be there. They must listen to what the department is saying as they respond, so that we don't distort the spirit and the feeling of the provinces and National House. So what we're going to be doing is that you need to diarize. But that day, the meeting might be afternoon, maybe after 4 or whatever, because of certain parliamentary programs that are existing here. You will bear with us. We don't want to miss the day, because this House has a mandate of six weeks cycle to complete the process. Completing the process does not mean that things will be fine, but we need to respond. But we don't want to complete for compliance sake. We would indeed have to engage to ensure that both the department and the House of the people, as the chairperson said, the House of the people, indeed get satisfied about the process that would lead to a new comprehensive, a new act, the act that will seek to restore the dignity. But that, you must bear with me, that issues of traditional affairs are not easy things. They are complex. according to the submission, all the submissions that we hear, you would hear that we are dealing with a complex process that needs care, because you don't just say whatever you want to say, especially when you deal with issues of Amakos, and therefore would need your support as shown, and let's move together and make sure that indeed we conclude this matter. I think it's a question of Honorable Watson. All what we are saying is in the process. That is what we are going to do. And this was part of the progress that we have adopted.
I want to make sure everybody understands.
Including yourself.
Yes.
It's part of the process. You said the right thing. We would be going to the province. The province will go to the province. The province will be engaging. Even ourselves, the provincial delegate, would have to go to engage with the province on this matter. So that the mandate that we are saying is a mandate. It's really a mandate. Oh, I forgot about you. Raise your hand. Eh? All right. Yeah. All right. So this the process that we'll be following until somewhere, but not somewhere between the 14th and 21st, we should be concluding the cycle, so that the department also is able to run with the matter, because we don't want to hold a department so that when it does not conclude, it's because of us on this side. And we would make sure that indeed together, because we are one parliament, they are not parliament, we are one parliament made out of NA and NCOP, and therefore we have to work together. And we would also make sure that we have the state law advisor here, who would engage on the other side. I'm afraid of opening now for Honorable to say something. We know when to engage you so that there will be a time. Once legal people express something, it might open other things. But for now, we would recognize their presence, Honorable, and then we would engage forward with that one. Honorable Brooke?
Thank you very much. No, it's only a comment. Chairperson, I'm happy that the chairperson expressed a very serious concern about the implementation. He is saying since 2003, this thing was passed, and the implementation is not taking place. I hope under our chairperson, new chairperson, that we must take each and everything, our work, very serious. But let me also tell the chairperson, we can't blame the minister for that. You know, the people that must be blamed is us in parliament. The oversight of our work over the executive is very much key in the implementation of laws. We are passing laws and we are shelving those laws. We are not following up in saying, when is this thing going to be implemented? So the minister will sit there in his office if we, as members of the committee, not checking on him and saying, since 2003, what is happening to that? So I'm saying, I can see that our chairperson here is very energetic, and I can see that we are going to follow up on things, because that is key, and I like to follow up on things. I will definitely ask the chairperson now and then, did we follow up on this one? Follow up on that one. But I'm very much happy that you raised this thing very sharply. Thanks.
Thank you very much.
Honorable Chairperson, the Chairperson of the National House of the Traditional Leaders, and the Chairperson of the Provincial Traditional Houses, Amakos. Chairperson, what I would like to raise is the issue of the program. Can we be given a new program by your committee? Because as it is now, the dates that you have mentioned, they do not concur with what we have in the program that was submitted to us. if that program can also be circulated to all of us. And if, and I'll also suggest that through you, Chairperson, the Chairperson of the National House of Traditional Leaders, forward those the program to our Provincial House of Traditional Leaders in KZN.
Thank you. In conclusion, the program will be emailed. According to the Committee Secretary, it will be emailed today to all the stakeholders. Fine. But in conclusion, I wanted the Chairperson of the House and ourselves to make follow-up with the provinces that could not be present, because we want the way that is all-inclusive. If we make follow-up, we get their submission, even if they are written. What are they saying in terms of this input? It's very important. Because one major thing that we found as a committee, that consultation issue is not that exploited much. And you get a situation where, and when you're supposed to be saying I pass, there are other stakeholders that might be left out. I think this other province would have to provide us with written input so that we have a feeling in terms of these issues that were raised by the House as we engage with the minister, even as we conclude the process. And therefore, I would want to thank everyone indeed. Thank you all, everyone from the provinces, from the House, from the legislature. KZN is always with us. So we thank you very much. And I think the point of emphasis is that even other legislators must ensure that they send the chairpersons that are dealing with this matter. Because that's what we thought would happen, and would also make a point. I think now we'll also engage the premiers to say we always invite, but we don't see your people. Would engage the premiers in this regard, because it's like they are not, maybe they are very much committed, we don't know. But must engage the premiers to give them time to come here. We shouldn't always be with KZN alone, really. We commend your commitment and to want to see other provinces. Thank you very much. Thank you. That concludes the complex matter.